This broadcast is general in nature and is provided for informational use only and should not be considered investment advice or an offer for a particular security. Views and opinions expressed are those of Richard Bassett and are subject to change based on market and other conditions. Consult an investment professional regarding your unique situation. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Keep in mind, investing involves risk, including the risk of loss. Investment decisions should be based on an individual's own goals, time horizon, and tolerance for risk. Securities and advisory services offered through Cetera Advisors, LLC, member FINRA SIPC. Cetera is under separate ownership from any other named entity.
If your retirement is just a few years away, it may be time to adjust your investing strategy.
The shocking statistic is that by the time somebody reaches 65, 95%, they're dead broke, they're dependent on family, or they're dependent on government.
It's important that people deal with someone to make sure to prove and provide lifetime income.
Welcome to the Financial Planning Hour, presented by J. Marshall Associates of Fall River, hosted by financial advisor Richard Bassett. Over the next hour, be prepared to hear ideas, concepts, and strategies that may challenge the way you were taught to think about saving and investing for retirement. It's time to roll up our sleeves and get to it. Now, here's the host of the Financial Planning Hour, Richard Bassett.
And welcome into the Financial Planning Hour with your host, Richard Bassett, proudly sponsored by J. Marshall Associates and joined in studio by David Brown. We are live today. If you've got questions, feel free to give us a call, 508-673-1480. Again, 508-673-1480 is the call-in line. It is the last Monday in January, January 29th, and we are live. So last week, if you are listening or you're just tuning in now for the first time, where have you been? We've been here for a while, but welcome, welcome, welcome. I want to recap what we talked about last week because I think it's an important public service announcement. Last week, I got a text message from supposedly my bank telling me that there was a fraud attempt on my accounts and I needed to respond yes or no. Was this me or not authorizing this transaction? It was not me authorizing the transaction, so I responded no. And they told me I'd be getting a follow-up call momentarily, which is exactly what happened. When I got that call, I ended up speaking to someone who represented themselves as a bank employee, and they were asking me, you know, for past transaction history so they could verify it was me. Very slick they were. And then as they got to the point of getting ready to rip me off, what they did is they said, I'm going to have to text you this code from the bank, and when you get it, just read it back to me. And of course, the code says on it, don't give it out to anybody. So I said, this code says don't give it out to anybody. And they said, well, it's okay. It's me. I'm the one who generated the code, so then you can give the code. I did not provide the code, but if I had, they would have started initiating wire transfers out of my bank to foreign bank accounts. And once those funds left my bank, they're not replaceable.
Yeah, I got a couple questions about that. Did this person identify themselves with a name?
Oh, sure. Yeah, bank employee, you know, whatever the name was. I don't remember exactly, but absolutely, Dave.
And did you talk to your bank about this incident?
After I refused to give them the code the first time, they hung up on me. They lost, you know, interest, got frustrated, maybe thought they could find an easier fish to put on the hook, if you will.
Yeah.
So they hung up, and immediately I called my branch to speak with them, at which point I was informed it was fraud and they were going to take steps to protect my assets. The next day, it happened again. And that really infuriated me because the bank had already been made aware of it, but here I was still with my you-know-what hanging out in the air, if you will. And it was very frustrating. So the next day, it was what I called the A-team approach versus the B-team. Started off similarly. I ended up with a text message, fraud alert, responded no, got the call. This person gave me an employee ID number. So, you know, I think, unfortunately, as Americans, we've got to learn, especially Americans with assets and banking relationships, we have to learn that we can't trust anybody who calls you. That's the way it's going to be, unfortunately, and that's the way they're making it. So the second attempt was the same idea. You know, I'm your friend, I'm your pal, I'm here to help, your bank, your money is in danger, at risk, I need this code to be able to log in and you know, shut down your online banking preferences, and at which time I did not give the code the second time, and then again, they hung up on me, and that was that. After calling the bank the second time and speaking to their fraud department, I spoke to a very nice young lady who said, you know, I don't know why the first person you spoke to didn't close everything, but all our checking and savings accounts were closed, they were frozen. And then we had to go into the bank on Friday with my wife and I, had to sign up for new checking, new savings, had to pay money to have our cards expedited to us.
What kind of cards?
Debit cards.
Oh, debit.
To have our debit cards expedited to us, which I thought was a little bit ridiculous. But I think the bank's policy is that there is so much fraud out there. If they don't charge for certain services, then they're not going to ever be able to stay in business and stay profitable. And of course, we know what happened earlier last year with some banks that got into some trouble and closed. We want our banks to stay profitable to the point that they can still maintain their footprint and be our banks. We just don't want to make all the profit off just us, I guess, is the way I felt about it. But it was fascinating. So we had to open accounts, new accounts, checking and savings accounts, all new, you know, obviously account numbers and passwords. And they asked me if I wanted to sign up for online banking. And I said, absolutely not.
Yeah, me too.
I'm done with that. Now I know the convenience, what it costs you. And, you know, that's the thing. I think convenience is really the wave of the future. Everything's going to be online and quicker and slicker and easier for you. But it's also going to be easier for other people.
Do you use auto pay? I use auto pay for some insurance.
Yeah, we use some auto pays.
Does that automatically flip into your new account?
It does not. No.
More inconvenience.
We had to leave some money in the old account, and we had to what's called force pay some outstanding checks, which basically means with the fraud department on the line, we had to go in and tell them, okay, this check is good, and this check is good. So that way when they come up, they're able to see that we've approved those checks previously, and then they will honor them. But otherwise, they wouldn't. The checks would bounce, show insufficient funds, and what have you. And it just creates a bit of a nightmare. So it's not just the fact that people were able to access your bank information online, because that's quite frankly what they were able to do. They were able to log into my bank account, really under my wife's online access, not my own, and see our previous transactions. What they could not do is they couldn't change the information. They couldn't start requesting wires and transfers and withdrawals without those codes. If I had given them those codes, that would have changed everything. You know, that would have changed everything, and basically we would have been cleaned out completely. It's a pretty scary feeling. It feels like you've been violated. It feels like you've been assaulted, and all those words probably are accurate, you know. And then, as you say, Dave, there's more to it than that. You got to go to the bank. We've got to shut down these old accounts eventually once all the checks are kind of cleared. This morning I had to change my direct deposit for work to make it, you know, go into the new account. That's going to take a little bit of time. My wife has to do the same thing with her job. So it's just a real problem. And, you know, I guess the point of the conversation is, one, protect yourselves. Make sure you know who you're talking to, because they will do their best to convince you they're the bank or some other financial institution you're doing business with. And you need to make sure that, you know who you're speaking to. And as I said last week, when in doubt, don't give it out. Don't give out codes, especially when they say don't give out the code. And it was funny, in the bank on Friday when we were reestablishing these accounts, we had to give out codes. But because I was in the bank, the guy in front of me was saying, you're going to get a code. It was okay because he was asking for the code. I was giving him the code, and it was all happening right in front of us, as not over the phone, certainly. So I just think it's a good public service announcement. I think in today's times, there's people that work and those who don't. And the ones who don't really want to find an easy way to get around. And, you know, certainly scamming people for their hard-earned money is a way to do it. So, you know, if you protect yourself, if you have elders in your life, senior citizens in your life, tell them the story. You know, make sure you tell them the story. We've told my in-laws, we've told clients, we've told everybody I can really get my hands on to tell them the story, because I want to make sure it doesn't happen to anybody else. And, you know, one of my clients had suggested, and he's a regular listener, he had suggested that I look into an online video that Andy Cohen from Bravo had done, where he was victim to a very similar scam, almost identical. The difference was he did give out the codes and lost money as a result of that. But you can actually Google, you know, Andy Cohen gets scams, and scammed, and it'll come up as a about seven and a half minute video on the Google machine, and it's a spot he did on the Today Show where he's talking about actually what happened to him. And you know, just as I'm doing, he wanted to educate people. It was, you know, he says, of course, he's a little embarrassed by it. He thinks he's intelligent, but the part he really wants to make sure is that people don't continue to fall victim to these scams, because it's a huge industry. It's a $1 billion industry, these people trying to steal your money. And it's crazy to us to think that that could happen to anybody. I'm a financial advisor. I take cybersecurity training every year. I have to do continuing ed on all these subjects. And I was that close to giving out the code. And it makes sense. You know, it was Monday morning. It's a stressful day. I've got a client sitting in front of me. I'm distracted by this bang thing. And you just want it to end. So you get ready to give out that code. And all of a sudden,
Something doesn't feel right.
Right. And when it doesn't feel right, that's your body. That's your intuition telling you something's wrong.
Well, you got to know. I mean, you sent the code, but you don't know what it is. If it doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense. But there's so many scams out there, and you know, they range from the mundane to the really, really potentially devastating. You know, imagine waking up after, for me, I've done financial planning for 25 years, waking up and finding out your bank is gone. It's cleared out completely. And, you know, truthfully, it's not the bank's problem. I mean, certainly the bank has a hand in it, but the bottom line is, the more we put online, the more we selves, the more of ourselves we put online, whether through our banking or through our online social media presence, the more vulnerable we become. And it was a big debate my wife and I had, I'm sure the banker loved it, in the office, talking about, do we need online banking? My wife insists on it because she likes the convenience of it. And I, being kind of old fashioned, I don't want online banking. I try to explain to my wife that the bank's 2 miles from the house, and we can drive down there and really have a face-to-face. We don't need to have this extra vulnerability in our lives, and my wife insisted on it. So we went kind of in different directions on that recommendation, and you know, that works for us, I guess. But you know, you've got to make sure you're aware of what can potentially happen, because it's serious. So you know, I just think it's a good recap of what happened last week. And good news is, the bad guys didn't get the money, but they were really, really close to it. They
and again,
really
spread the word, guys.
Yeah, spread the word, exactly. So you know, after the break, we're going to take in just a second. We're going to come back. We'll talk some about Social Security, which I wanted to talk about last week. So we'll talk about Social Security. And again, if you have questions or need some help, you can give my office a call at 508-673-3300.
For baby boomers, here's something to think about. Will you have enough income during your retirement? Are you absolutely sure? Do you understand the difference between growth and income? How about bonds and bond funds? Are you 100% ready for RMDs? Do you have an estate plan? If you've said no to any of these, we can help. Right now, for the first 5 callers, we'll send you a free, custom-designed, animated video retirement kit to help you plan for the retirement you've worked so long and so hard for. These custom video kits are loaded with cutting-edge retirement technology, custom-designed to your specific areas of need. There's nothing else like them. So call right now to receive your very own custom-designed animated video retirement kit. Call 855-406-6218. That's 855-406-6218. Call now or visit us online at financialplanninghour.com. More of the Financial Planning Hour is next. Question for Richard. The studio line is 508-673-1480. You're listening to the Financial Planning Hour.
And welcome back into the Financial Planning Hour with your host, Richard Bassett, proudly sponsored by J. Marshall Associates and joined in studio by David Brown. We are live today. If you've got questions, feel free to give us a call, 508-673-1480. Again, 508-673-1480 is the call in line. And I want to talk about Social Security because it got me thinking. There is a lot of commercials around this time of year from the politicians and the like, and they love to get people riled up. And you know what they love to talk about? Benefits. Well, Social Security.
Among okay.
Many of them, if you've been watching any of the news stations, or even if you're just sitting at home watching your 8 o'clock TV show, your favorite, all of a sudden you're jarred out of your, you know, kind of
comfort zone,
right, by these political commercials that tell you Social Security is going to go away, or, you know, you're not going to have enough, and what are you going to do? And they're all pretty scary from both sides, quite frankly. So I thought we'd do a little bit of a deeper dive into Social Security today. And, you know, unfortunately, many financial advisor types like myself, they don't talk about Social Security, and it's a phenomenon in my business. A lot of my, I guess, competition, they don't want to talk about Social Security.
But isn't it an essential part of your retirement plan?
I would hope so, Dave.
Yeah.
You know, for me, I always make Social Security part of the conversation, because Social Security is a component. You know, we talk about the three-legged stool of income planning, and Social Security is one of those legs, and it's really, really important. But many financial professionals don't want to talk about it because they don't get paid to talk about it. So if they tell you to take Social Security at a different age or a different time, and later on you disagree with their advice, maybe it opens up to liability. And that's one of the reasons they don't talk about it. They don't want to take on additional liability without being compensated for it. You know, our approach at J. Marshall Associates is a little bit different, as we get a message from Spock. Welcome, Spock. Our message at the office is a little bit different, because realistically in my office, Social Security, as you just said, Dave, is a huge part of your income planning component. So we always address it. We talk about strategies to help maximize it, when you should collect it, et cetera. In fact, I had a client today call up and had some misinformation. Usually that's what happens on Mondays from the weekend. You've been watching football with your buddies or something, and they start talking about retirement. And he asked me today, he says, well, my wife's full retirement age is 65. I said, well, that's not right. He goes, how do you know? I said, well, there's a chart. I looked it up. She was born in 59, so it's 66 in 10 months. It's not 65.
Do you know this off the top of your head?
The chart?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
No, I know where to get it.
Okay. But tell the audience where to get it then.
I go to Google and I Google Social Security full retirement ages, and you will get a whole chart based on when you were born and when you weren't, and it'll tell you, like, you know, for me, I was born in 76, so my full retirement age is 67. I know that one.
Great.
I know that one, because that one affects me. But in general, you know, there's a chart. So talking to this client this morning, I said that, well, your wife's full Social Security age is actually 66 in 10 months. And he said, okay. Well, that's interesting. So that means I should wait then. She should wait. I said, well, not necessarily. But what you have to think about with Social Security is, if you retire early before your full retirement age and you plan to continue to work, as many people do, there's income limits. It's about $24,000 a year. And if you're making over that, Social Security is going to penalize you, because you're collecting Social Security and you're also working, making over that income threshold. And as a result, you give back $1 of benefits for every $2 over that number you make. So, you know, some people are better off not collecting at an earlier age if their income is really strong at work. Why would you do that? But once you get to your full retirement age, like me, 67, I can make $1 million a year if I want, and still collect my full Social Security without that penalty. So there are planning strategies that goes into place with Social Security. There's many different ways a couple can collect Social Security, and they need to be aware of it. And I think that's important. So we do have a call, so let's take that call. Hey, caller, you're on the air.
Hello?
Got shy.
Come on.
You call back again. 508-673-1480 is the call in line. 508-673-1480. So as I was saying, many Social Security, you know, people seeking advice don't really know where to go, because their advisors don't talk about it much. And, you know, looking at stuff online, some of it you believe, some of it you don't. So you've got to be aware that, you know, you've got to help or work with an advisor who likes to talk about Social Security as we do. So the fact of the matter is, Social Security is the foundation of a successful retirement. I call it the foundation because literally you can't build a house on quicksand, is the old saying. You've got to have solid ground to build that home, and you've got to have a solid foundation to build a retirement plan that's going to work. Social Security is it. Social Security is it. In the old days, I said it earlier, the three-legged stool approach, there was Social Security, there was a pension, and then your own investments that you saved along the way. Nowadays, most retirees only have two legs to that stool. They have Social Security and they have their investments. They do not have a pension. As a result, it gets harder. And oftentimes what makes up the difference is the investments. And that's where we get unrealistic expectations of how much we can expect to withdraw. The two biggest trends I saw in 2023 with new clients was they underestimate how long they live, and they overestimate how much income they can generate from their investments. And unfortunately, I think the more conversation you have with advisors, the better off you're going to be. So call back. Let's take that call. Hi, caller. You're on the air.
Hello. Hi, how you doing?
Good.
I was born in 61.
Okay.
When is my full retirement age?
All right. You just give me one handy second, and I'll figure that out for you.
Okay.
Richard's on his cell phone. He's putting in all the information, so he'll have an answer in just a split second here.
So you're born in 61.
That's the same year I was born, caller.
Well, maybe you and Dave should talk more. Born in 61, you're 67. So I do have the chart in front of you, in front of me, rather. 43 to 54, these are the years you were born at 66. And then in 55, at 66 in 2 months. 56, at 66 in 4 months. 57, at 66 in 6 months. 58, 66 in 8 months. And then 66 in 10 months. And then anybody born after 59, so 1960 and later, it's 67. So that's your full retirement age. That's when you will get your maximum benefit at full retirement age. Of course, you can wait till 70. The check gets bigger by about 8% a year. But again, you're 70, so it's less time you have to spend it. Answer your question?
Right. Okay. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. You enjoy. Thank you so much for listening.
Thanks.
Welcome, buddy.
So the thing that people really have a hard time with is, like, that caller is a good example. His full retirement age is 67. It doesn't mean he has to wait till 67. It just means if he does, he'll get his biggest check at full retirement age. He could wait ultimately till 70. That's the last year you can wait. You technically can wait to collect. I've actually had one gentleman in my office one time. He was 72 years old, and when I asked him how much his Social Security was, he said, "I'm not collecting it. I'm still working." I was ready to jump across the table and friendly strangle him because he had left years of payments on the government desk, if you will.
You mean
and
you don't get that back if you don't ask for it?
No, there's no retro
payments. Oh, wow.
No retro payments. And he was quite shocked by that. And I asked him, "So where'd you get this advice from?" He goes, "Oh, a coworker." I'm like, "Well, that's your fault.
Oops.
You got to get it from a professional." So, you know, for me, my full Social Security age is 67. But what if I only want to work till 65? Can I do that? Yes, I can. Understanding that if I make over that income threshold, I am going to give my benefits back $1 for every $2 over that $24,000 and change threshold. And then the question is it worth it to me or not to do that? So you've got to really plan out Social Security. You know, and people who take it at 62, that's the earliest you can take it without a disability. They generally, I think their mentality is, well, I'll get it now because, you know, who knows how long I'm going to live. Okay. What I tell clients, if you're going to take Social Security early, you better have reasons. Number one reason is financially needy. You need the money. There's no, you know, you understand the benefit of waiting, but you cannot afford to wait. So you take it early. All right. The other people who take it early, generally, that I would agree with are people who don't have a long longevity ahead of them. You know, maybe they've had health histories all along. Maybe they're starting to develop health history that they don't necessarily agree with. Maybe their family has really bad longevity numbers as well, and they take it early because of that. But I have people tell me all the time, "Oh, well, I'll just take it early because it works out ahead." It doesn't, actually. It doesn't. We'll talk about that after the break when we come back. But it pays you to wait, and I'll explain the numbers when we come back. And again, if you need help retiring successfully, making sure you have enough income in retirement, you can give my office a call at 508-673-3300.
In a world filled with volatile markets and risky, high-fee investment choices, you feel alone and confused.
Does the thought of planning for retirement remind you of a scary Hollywood movie trailer? Call now for a free, no-obligation retirement income kit packed full of easy-to-understand information designed to help you create and maintain steady, predictable retirement income that can never be lost in the market. Call today, 855-406-6218, or download it now, financialplanninghour.com. You've worked too long and too hard to allow your retirement to play out like a scary movie trailer. So call right now, 855-406-6218. More of the Financial Planning Hour is next. ideas, concepts, and strategies that may challenge the way you were taught to think about saving and investing for retirement. The studio line is 508-673-1480. You're listening to the Financial Planning Hour.
And welcome back to the Financial Planning Hour with your host, Richard Bassett, proudly sponsored by J. Marshall Associates and joined in studio by David Brown. We are live today. If you've got questions, feel free to give us a call, 508-673-1480. Again, 508-673-1480 is the call in line. For the break, I teased Social Security. I get this a lot. Oh, you know what? I'm just going to take it early because that way I'll have the money earlier and, you know, I'll be ahead. And there's no way to calculate if there's a break-even point. But there is.
There is.
There is. And the break-even's pretty easy. There's charts and graphs and people who have probably written PhDs on financial planning about it. And I've got one of those charts. And basically, if you look at early versus late, I'm sorry, early versus on time versus late, and really what I'm talking about is 62, 66, and 70. So taking it early is 62. If you take it early, you get penalized. You lose money because you took it early on time, 66 or 67, depending on when you were born, somewhere in between, and that delayed retirement, 70, okay? Every time you wait a year, it gets bigger. So if you collect at 62, that's the smallest check versus waiting until 65, that'd be a bigger check. The break even between age 62 and 66 is 78. How many people can you think of off the top of your head that you know are retired and are 78 years old? Probably a bunch of them.
Quite a few, really.
Right. If those people took Social Security at 62, they made the wrong choice. And the reason they did that is because they kind of followed everybody else's lead. Well, I want the money now. I want the money now. I want the money now. Everybody tells me Social Security is not going to be there later. The political ad commercials tell you Social Security is not going to be there later. I saw a political ad commercial recently and said they're talking about Social Security age at 65. It's too young. We know that. That's mm-hmm. why we changed it to 66 and then 67. So to say that, you know, Social Security isn't going to be there at all, I think is not appropriate. I do think it's going to be there. I think some politicians eventually will get together and do the right thing. They'll do the right thing. They will increase Social Security taxation on the higher income earners. They may push younger generations off from 67 to 68, 69, or what have you. But the point of the story is there is a break even, and it's 78. So at 62, if you collect Social Security early, at 62, you will get more checks than the person who waits till age 66. Four more years of checks, and you think you're ahead. But there's something you're not calculating. The cost of living adjustment on top of your checks. And I'm going to use an example. If I collect at 62 and I get $750, that sounds pretty good. But what if I wait till 66? Maybe I get $1,000. Well, doesn't have to be a mathematician to know if the cost of living adjustment is on average 3%, 3% of $1,000 is more than 3% of $750, isn't it, Dave?
Absolutely.
Right.
Basic math.
Basic math. So understanding that by waiting, I don't only get a bigger check out of the gate, I get a bigger cost of living adjustment each time one's applied because my number is bigger. So the break even is 78. Okay, if you were going to ask yourself, if I wait, what is the cost of waiting versus delaying? Well, it's age 78, and if you plan or hope to live past 78, and you financially have other options, and health-wise you're doing pretty good, you are better off waiting till age 66 or
how 67. How often do they make that adjustment? On a yearly basis, or just when they think they need to?
The adjustment as far as how they change Social Security around?
No, how much the increase. Oh, how often do they increase the
cost of living adjustments? Generally once a year.
Okay.
And it's generally done at the beginning of the new year. And we just found out this year it's going to be like 2.6%. Last year it was a big deal because it was over 8% because it's it's tied to inflation.
Right, right. Yeah.
And obviously big inflation issues last year, so that we saw a big increase. Now the joke is anybody who collects Social Security will tell you this. Well, great, I got an 8% raise on my Social Security check, but the gasoline and the heating oil and the food went up by 10%.
Right.
So really I didn't make any extra money. I spent more than I'm used to. So, and just so you're aware, there is a break even from 66 to age 72. So again, if you take it at 66, full retirement age, versus delaying it to age 70, the break even's 84. So if you think or plan or hope to live past age 84, statistically, you're better off waiting till age 70 to collect it. You will collect more even though you had to wait longer to get it because your checks are significantly bigger, and that that math gets more exasperated by the cost of living adjustment on top of that, that 3% addition on top of it in general. So you've got to think about that. And ultimately, you know, as I said at the beginning of this conversation, Social Security is the foundation of a successful retirement because it is income that comes in regardless of COVID, regardless of stock market performance, regardless of who or is, who isn't president. And as a result, you're better off trying to get as much from that account as you can, especially if you're somebody who does not have a pension to fall back on. Because let's face it, a pension is another form of a guaranteed check for life, just like Social Security. And that's why they're so, so important when we're talking about income planning. They really are the backbone of the income plan that you start with. And as I said earlier, Social Security is safe, it's predictable, and it's guaranteed. Now, this is where everybody listening is going to roll their eyes, depending on how they feel about that. And they're going to say, you know, guaranteed, but at what number? I don't blame you for thinking that way. You've been marketed to, realistically. You've been marketed to. You've been told that Social Security needs a complete overhaul. It doesn't. It doesn't need a complete overhaul. It has worked for 100 years, almost. You know what it needs? It needs some strong TLC, some tweaks. So, you know, my son's 15. He's a pain in the butt. He doesn't need a complete overhaul. He just needs some little tweaks and adjustments along the way. And with a little research, you can find a lot of doom and gloom. $22.4 trillion is the current estimate of the funding hole, according to the program trustees, Social Security program trustees. 2034 is the year the trust fund is expected to run out of money. 2034, not that long into the future.
No.
21%. Is the amount that benefits would have to be cut if that happened and there had been no change to the law. That's the key. 21% reduction in benefits if there had been no changes. They're assuming someone is going to get in this train locomotive and literally just drive you right off the cliff. That's not going to happen. We're a better country than that. I know it in my heart of hearts. And the scariest number may be that 71% of people have been persuaded that cuts to Social Security, potentially deep cuts, are either likely or inevitable. Inevitable. This came from a recent poll of 10,000 people conducted. The survey was conducted by the Harris Poll on behalf of the well-respected Transamerica Center for Retirement Studies. 7 in 10 people are concerned, Dave, that Social Security will not be there for them when they are ready to retire, Transamerica wrote. Half of those, 35%, said that cuts to Social Security are their single greatest retirement fear. 70% are worried. 35% of the 70 say it's their greatest fear, that Social Security will be cut. That explains why 42% of those polled in that survey say that they think future generations of Americans will be worse off in retirement than those today. This is marketing at its best.
Why are they doing this?
Because can't fight the inevitable. Did your parents ever tell you this old, you know, saying? My mother was great with old sayings. She had a million of them.
Okay.
And one of them was, you can't fight City Hall.
Probably true.
And another way of saying that is you can't fight the inevitable. By being hammered over your head all the time that Social Security has to change. When it changes, you're more likely to accept it. Because you were prepared for it, right? You were prepared for it.
Yeah.
That's why they're doing this. They are trying to get themselves ready to make these changes where, as Americans, we have to be smarter than that. We can't trust them. You know, we can't trust them because ultimately, you know, if you look at just some of the presidential race ads, every time Social Security is mentioned, it gets your attention. And that's what it's designed to do. It's designed to do that. So changes need to be made, no doubt. But what bugs me is the idea that wholesale changes are inevitable, and they're not. You know, right now, Social Security income is capped. If you're making, I think it's $200,000 or more, your income is only paying Social Security tax up to that threshold. And then after that, you're not paying Social Security tax. So if I'm a multi-millionaire, I'm only paying Social Security tax on my first $200,000 or so of income, and the rest is tax-free, Social Security tax-free. That's a quick fix.
I never knew that.
Yeah, well, they can fix that in a second, but again, they need the votes. And of course, the politicians, who are the biggest political donors? the biggest political donors are the very rich. And the very rich are the ones who would pay more. So you can see the conflict there, right? There's a conflict there. And again, it's not going to become the political planning hour. But the reality is that this is all a shell game. And it's got our lives affected by it. But I tell people, and I had a caller one time, he asked me when I did planning, it was a great question. He said, when you do planning, do you tell clients to expect less Social Security than they're currently eligible for? And I said, no, because I believe in my heart of hearts, people are going to do the right thing. They're going to fix the system because there's simple fixes. My son was born in 2009. I was born in 1976. Who doesn't think he's going to outlive my life expectancy? Of course he is.
Sure.
So we can change his ages from 67, mine, to maybe 68 or 69. And 30 years later, do the same thing to the next generation of young people. That's the way the system works. When we were kids, our grandparents got age 65. And then some people got 66. And then some people got, like the person I spoke to this morning, got 66 in 10 months. And then me gets 67. So pushing these ages off, it's not a bad thing. It's what makes it work. And the reason it works is because people are living longer than ever before. Don't quote me on the exact dates, but I think it was Otto von Bismarck. He was the Chancellor of Germany back in the 1800s, and he wanted to become very popular amongst his people. So he created the first Social Security system. Pretty neat. This is a long time ago.
Yeah.
You know what the downside was? He got a lot of publicity, positive for it, but you know what the downside of his plan was?
I don't know.
You had to be 90 to collect.
90?
Right, and no one was living to 90 back then, so it was kind of like not really ever going to happen, but hey, if it does, we'll take care of you. Where at Social Security, you're getting a reasonable age based on when you were born. You're getting a reasonable percentage of your income. As we've talked about on the show, till I'm blue in the face, it's not going to be more than 40% of what you're making now, and that's why people like me exist, to convince you, to help you, to guide you into retirement planning and funding your own 401ks, IRAs, and the like, because you understand that you have to have a component, you have to have a part in funding your own retirement. You know, the current generation wants everything to be GoFundMe. You know, I have a situation, I know somebody I know who has a dog that has a heart issue. Okay, that's fine. They did a GoFundMe asking for money for the heart surgery for the dog. And when they did not raise enough, they basically reluctantly said, well, I guess I'll have to make up the difference. When I was growing up, it was, you made up the difference yourself,
yeah.
And if you fell short, that's when you would ask for help. Only then would you ask for help. Nowadays, I think people ask for help right away, and we don't have to do it that way. There's better ways. And Social Security will be changed eventually. It will stay viable for the long run, and it will still be an important component of your retirement income planning picture. So again, if you need help retiring successfully, you don't have a retirement plan, you don't have an idea where your income will come from in retirement, give my office a call and we'll help. 508-673-3300.
Investing in the stock market these days is like riding a roller coaster. Leaving a place of safety, get on the coaster, hear the clickety-clack as you experience anticipation climbing to the top of the hill, followed by sheer panic as you plummet back to the earth, hoping you stay on track. You might be brave enough to repeat the process several times, going up and down, but never achieving higher highs and accomplishing nothing but anticipation followed by fear. The stock market has been doing this same ride of volatility with no real growth. Proper education, though, can help you find a better way to grow your money during these times.
So, how's this latest stock market roller coaster treating you? It's time to get off and call Richard Bassett right now at 855-406-6218. That's 855-406-6218. More of the Financial Planning Hour is next. You're listening to the Financial Planning Hour.
And welcome back into the Financial Planning Hour with your host, Richard Bassett, proudly sponsored by J. Marshall Associates and joined in the studio by David Brown. For the break, we were talking about Social Security and how changes need to be made. And as I said, that's definitely not in question, but I do think it's wild to me to believe that, you know, these wholesale, complete turnaround type changes need to be made. But one thing that I do think is clear is that in the meantime, you need to rely on yourself to have a successful retirement. And that's why, you know, there's so many opportunities nowadays to save. 401ks, IRAs, Roth IRAs, if you work for nonprofits, 403bs, if you work for governments, 457s or TSP plans. And you think about those are all things that were somewhat involved the government. You know, 401ks involve the IRS laws and so on, income rules and so on. And why are you being told to save? The answer is because the government knows Social Security isn't the end-all be-all. It's a component to your retirement plan. It's not 100% of your retirement plan. And that's why you've got to start funding assets on your own that prepare you for retirement, and not only retirement, but retirement income, income through retirement. Good example of mine, I have a client who retired early at age 55. That's early, and it's difficult. So 5 or 6 years ago, he came in, he retired, he had money in his 401k, wanted to retire early. We did what's called a 72T, which is basically a calculation the government allows you to do, where if you take 5 years of substantial and equal payments, you can avoid the penalties on early withdrawals from the 401k or IRA. We did do that. Perfect. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then here we are 5 years later, and now he's got a pool of money. It's performed quite well. He's quite happy with it. He's got his 5 years of income payments. And now the question is for him, what's next? So I think Friday we're meeting, and we're going to peel out from one of his accounts about $100,000 or so. We're going to move it over to another account that's going to give him a guaranteed income check for life, regardless of how long he lives, regardless how the stock market accounts perform, et cetera. And that is actually giving him a little bit more income than he's getting now. But more importantly, it's doing it in a more predictable and less risky fashion.
Is he married?
He is.
So income for life until he dies.
Income for life till he dies. He has the option of taking a joint income. It'll be a smaller payment, but his wife would get the same income check for his life and then her life. Or if he takes a single payment, he gets his check for life. It's a little bit higher because it's just a single payment date.
Sure, yeah.
And then the benefit would be is when he passed away, his wife gets the remaining balance.
That's what I was going to ask you.
Yep, absolutely. So, you know, what does success mean to you as a listener of the show, as someone who wants to be successful in retirement? To me and many of the clients I represent, it means maintaining your current lifestyle in retirement. And that comes down to income. You know, I don't really care when someone walks into my office and says, I have a $1 million portfolio. That's cool. But to me, that's like a trophy. You know, you're out in the woods, you hunt the buck, big one with the deer, the big horns, you get them, you put them on the wall, and you go, look how big that guy was. He's pretty big.
Yeah.
But what impresses me more is when you come in and say, I've got a $1 million portfolio, and this is how much income I can generate from the way I've set it up. That impresses me, because ultimately income is what makes the world of retirement work. And the more income you have in retirement, the better off you're going to be in retirement, no matter what type of lifestyle you want to maintain. Income is paramount. And unfortunately, most brokers, advisors, they don't have a plan for income. They don't. They talk about withdrawal rates, like the 4% rule. We've talked about that until I'm blue in the face. Ultimately, the 4% rule says if you take 4% out of the year, you should not run out of money, assuming the market stays consistent with what's happened. But let's look at what's happened over the last 20 years. We've had a tech bubble burst, we've had the financial crisis, and we've had COVID. Things aren't normal as they used to be. So that 4% rule, some people say it should be 3.2 or 3.5%. Other people say you can increase it closer to 5. But the bottom line is that the withdrawal rules that are out there are really just a hope and pray strategy. Hope and pray that your time period that you're retired is not volatile enough to make the 4% rule not work, because that could potentially happen. And even at the 50-50 mix of stocks and bonds, that balanced portfolio, the 4% rule only gives you an 80% chance of success. A lot of my clients, they don't want 80% chance of success. They want 100.
It's like, you know, there's an 80% chance your parachute won't open. will open.
Yeah, and I think you would really consider not parachuting that day.
Yeah.
I've used the plane analogy for years. So, you know, how do you want to accomplish your retirement? That's up to you. You know, do you want more flexibility? Do you want more predictability? A good financial plan can create both. I had a conversation with a new client recently where that's what we did. We talked about how much income they wanted or needed and how much liquidity they wanted to maintain. And what we did is we ended up implementing a split strategy, Dave. And in that split strategy, we put some money towards guaranteed income for their retirement. And we put other monies in a stock market-based account that they can access whenever they want for that liquidity as needed. But you know, it's funny, as you get older, liquidity starts off being the most important, but in the end, you know what's the most important? Predictability. People want a predictable retirement, and that's what we do at J. Marshall Associates. So if you'd like to retire successfully, you can give my office a call at 508-673-3300. We'll offer you a free consultation. We'll walk you through our process, generally 3 appointments. We'll get to know you. We'll have a sense of who you are as we make recommendations, and you don't know how we get paid. If we do, you'll enjoy it. So again, 508-673-3300 is the phone number. My website is jmarshallfinancial.com, and you can always find us on Facebook as well. What's new in the real estate world, Mr. Brown?
All kinds of new and fascinating things always happening in the real estate world. I'm David Brown, realtor with High Point Properties. Phone number 508-277-3297. As you know, I work a lot with investors, people who like to buy a house that needs to be renovated and put it on the market. But, you know, prices being what they are, inventory being what it is, a lot of first-time home buyers and home buyers in general are looking to purchase property that, you know, needs to be fixed up. It's not exactly like move in ready, but you know, they can live there while they fix it. But there's some places that you can't do that, and there's some places you can, and that's what a lot of people are opting to do. Some people are willing to spend up to $70,000 on repairs. Some people are willing to spend up to $90,000 on renovations. And where do you find a house that you think you can renovate and live in? And where are these houses? Where are these fixer-uppers, these flippers, flip houses? Well, I looked it up online because that's what I do. And the top 10 places in the United States are New Orleans, Albany, New York, Cleveland, Memphis, Tennessee, Newark, New Jersey, Anchorage, Alaska, Aurora, Colorado, Dover, Delaware, Detroit, and Milwaukee. Now, I'm not telling everyone to go to these towns and buy a house, because there's flip houses all over the place. But, you know, what's the real secret about finding them? Well, I'll tell you. The way you find them is cities with older housing stock. For example, Cleveland. The typical home is 84 years old, nearly twice the national median. And, you know, it's not old towns with older houses. I mean to say areas with, take that lesson, areas of older houses, and look for your flip there. David Brown, Realtor, High Point Properties, 508-277-3297. Thanks.
Thank you very much, everybody. We'll talk to you next week.